This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy in the car, just like you? Right now, times are really tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to make your drive around Melbourne fun. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
You're it with flies. Warren and
yeah, it does.
Doesn't the morning fly?
It certainly does. Except for when you're panelling. And thank you very much, our panel operator, our steely panel operator.
Hey, it's you guys are doing an amazing job this morning. And it's so nice to have a couple of new voices in the studio. So well done to you. It's a great feedback from the text machine. And you're smashing it.
Thank you, Paul.
And Paul, it's great that you're going to come and panel on Joy Drive Monday to Friday. I'm looking forward to it.
A lot of volunteering. Oh,
if you can just tell my work, Warren, I'd love to.
Oh, no, Mac is texting you.
Now, temperance is a word not unfamiliar to our community, but certainly underused. Temperance Hall. We've got Philip Adams, Artistic Director, on the line. Welcome to SatMag on Joy 94.9. Philip.
Hi, good afternoon.
Firstly, we're going to have to understand what Temperance Hall is. Is it a row full of 1830s women, tight-lipped and...
I wish.
Tell us about Temperance Hall, Philip.
Sure. Temperance Hall, 150-year-old historic Victorian building, built on the land of the Boomerang people, Coronation, and it's in South Melbourne. It was established by the Temperance Society and emerged from the US to Australia to recruit those who had found themselves, you know, falling wayward. And so, like the Salvation Army in some capacity, they were, you know, there to support families, people, alcoholism, violence in the community, because back then we have to think, what was around? It was gin and water, right? Gin and beer, because we couldn't drink the water. So they were a shelter space, but also a kind of like interesting thing for me, they've got a cultish aspect to them where you took the pledge, meaning that, you know, you can come in and we will look after you, but you will not drink. And so that covenant, you know, was part of their remit in their purpose to support community. But moving forward, the space has always been preoccupied with the communities gathering for culture and participation in the arts. And so, you know, it's had a really colourful history of so many organisations that have utilised the space. Even the South Melbourne Football Club was formed there. That's pretty exciting.
Oh, wow.
There was a BirdLife Preservation Wildlife Society at some point. For those listeners, you know, who can date back to my age, never give away, of course, Ant Hill Theatre was prolific in the 1980s. Avant-garde, you know, new performance and experimental theatre. And once they sort of played out their this narrative of being in the building, it became a rehearsal space for the Melbourne Milieu of Independent Artists, which I was one at the time, and it started to get a bit run down. So the story ends, in 2016, there was a tender put out for an organisation or an independent person to put it forward the expression of interest to take the building. I happened to be the lucky, you know, a company, Ballet Lab, to take the building under the auspice of Working Heritage Victoria, who have a portfolio of amazing buildings in Melbourne, like Hoyte Hall, La Mama, Traders Hall, the Courthouse, and they really care for these historic, significant buildings that are used for culture today. And so Temperance Hall, under my vision and direction in the last 7 years, is to build up my legacy of work there, but also to support the LGBTIQ plus community and our independent practitioners who need a safe space and a place to kind of feel that they can take it and use it in any way that they choose to, rather than being curated into a, you know, the usual conversations that go with getting work produced. So it's a really flexible space. What's made in Temperance Hall stays in Temperance Hall.
Philip, what?
That felt like a grant application, didn't it?
It did. Philip, I could hear you clicking away at your PowerPoint.
I'm really glad you've mentioned this, though, because one thing that I hate is when you get these historical buildings, and of course developers come along and they keep the facade and then they destroy the whole internal of the building, and it's the internal part that makes up the whole history, isn't it? And that we tend to not preserve. So I'm so pleased to hear that Temperance Hall has maintained that integrity there. Now, you've got
You have a bar, don't you?
A bar?
Yeah, we do.
So I don't know if there's all that much integrity that has been
applied. I'm sure in the 1920s, it might have been hidden, but there was a bar probably under the stage or something at the time.
Totally. I think over the years, there's been a few, you know, doesn't all queer culture also go under the table? It's what's passed through history.
A little gin-soaked, maybe. I don't know.
Now, we are chatting to Philip Adams, who is the Artistic Director of Triple Bill, which is coming up at Temperance Hall. Philip, do you want to tell us a little bit about Triple Bill?
Sure. How, you know, we curated the Temperance Hall is through consultation with artists, rather than kind of like, oh, we like your work. We saw it in the Fringe Festival. Would you like to expand on that? You know, we tend to form relationships with artists that have, you know, found the hall in the capacities that they've been utilising it for some time. And they often approach us about the potentials to be commissioned. You know, we're supported through the Australia Council and Creative Victoria and the city, beloved city of Port Phillip. And so with the financing we get, a healthy portion of that is put towards the independent artist sector. No going back over the COVID story. Who wants to do that? But anyway,
what's COVID?
Triple Bill. Exactly. Yeah, I've heard of it. I remember it well.
Fiona Newton is cursing you at the moment.
So that curtain going up and down of lockdowns, we all endure it. This program, the Triple Bill, we had, there were 12 artists being presented. And of course, it was unfortunate, the Fringe program fell apart. So this particular Triple Bill are three artists that kind of came back to us and went, we still want to put our work on at the hall. You know, we feel like this, you know, what we proposed needs to be seen. And so we put together this hybrid of interdisciplinary performance, queer, and sometimes a language that's hard to talk about. You know, the artists can't really find that conversation in their work. And we place them in a relationship together where they decide how they would like to present a triple bill. And that's, you know, it's not easy to sort of put forward an ideals where, all right, we're going to come in 20 minutes, 20 minutes, 20 minutes. How would the artists like to present the platform of works, and in what capacity should the order go? And in this particular, on this particular occasion, what links the works together is a sense of their body, their COVID story, but also the aftermath of that and the way they can celebrate it and the hall represent that in the best way possible for audience to come in and sit and around in a circle, be seated on stage, take a break, come back, and we've designed the space in another capacity to suit the artist. So it's an eclectic hybrid body of three works that certainly, you know, are very different in terms of the way they are presenting, you know, the context of what they would like to do. But it is the artists that we're seeing represented, and they're all solo performances.
Philip, now we were talking to Misha Ketchell, the editor of The Conversation, earlier about media outlets and how, you know, we have one of the highest concentrated media landscapes in the world here. And one of the works that you have there is by Thomas Woodman. It's A Dead End in Itself, and it's about how to interpret information in a world where the outlets for dispersing information continue to proliferate. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Yeah, Thomas is, I'm his biggest fan, my hands up. Thomas, this work grew out of a program we have called Out of Bounds, where we support 24 young emerging practitioners to present 10 minutes of an idea. And we break off into groups and we have little feedback sessions. And Tom's kind of like, I don't like to use this word, but in his case, I have to say, his fascinated with media, technology, and this sense of like experimental 1960s and 70s pop culture, driven by the sort of American psyche around television and advertising. And so Chris Burden was a prolific artist in his day. Who, for those listeners, you know, who might know of Chris Burden's work, he's probably the most risque performance artist in the history of the world. He's the one that shot himself in the gallery live. His friend shot him as an artwork. It was an activist protest work against the Vietnam War.
Not something you could replicate often.
No. And he passed away 3 years ago, but he was saying, you know, that the work, you know, today is obviously pedestalized institutional piece that's never to be repeated. And I think the idea of the gun lobby association certainly jumped on that, in also the fact that, you know, he was shot live in a gallery. And so Tom experiments with these kind of ins and outs of the way the body is hybridized, this commercial sort of integrated post-human specimen. And he's, even though it sounds like, you know, moving into a lot of jargon, he's actually funny. It's hilarious.
Yeah,
and
it sounds hilarious.
It situates the audience sort of like, he's got monitors in the room and he's got these beautiful imagery that he's collected and edited into this specialised software that you kind of see progress during the work. And he places himself inside of that context in the most...
Oh, we seem to have lost Philip there. But we were talking about Triple Bill, which is coming up at Temperance Hall. It is on from the 7th to the 9th of April. It starts at 7 p.m. and only goes for an hour and a half. So, of course, you can search for that at the Temperance Hall website for more information.
And you can book online.
To book online.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.